with a big stare like Stone Cold with a few beers. Play the game, I end the game, I'm champion, I'm Triple H. Undertaker, I'm your maker, bury the brother like Kane. Ooh, 1-3, hit the tombstone, hit the trope, slam on face. Yeah, ooh, yeah, like a macho heel, turn like I'm Tommaso. If you sell a lot of tomatoes, I'ma keep a couple models. Ooh, and you may call me HBK. When I'm tuning up the frame, you best be getting in my way. Ooh, yeah, I'm degenerate, I love it, yes, I love it. If you wait down with that, then I got two words for you, suck it. Too sweet, put your fangs up. Too sweet.
Welcome everyone to Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. It's good to see you again this week. Packed show, great guest this week, Nick Berry. Can't wait for you to see our conversation that we had. And before I get started, big shout out to everyone in Sydney. Please stay safe. I know you've got another little outbreak that's happening over there. It stopped some guys from going over and performing this past weekend in FWA, I think, and also IWA. I'm not too sure about IWA, but I know FWA had some guys that couldn't travel just because the fear of going into hotspots and all that. And I guess this is what we're living with until we can get either the vaccine going wild or going wild is probably not a good word for it, the vaccine kicking in, or we get some sort of cure for this thing. It's just how we're going to have to live our lives, I guess. And it's a shitty way to have to do it, but it is what it is, unfortunately. Again, before we get started, I keep saying that, I don't know why, but I had just a little thing that I noticed this week, and I was watching AEW, and like three or four promos during that show all had people saying, like, if you had the ball, what gives you the balls? Do you have enough balls to face us? Or you could fight me or you're a bitch. I don't understand what's... Can we please get away from all of this sort of stuff? There are a million words in the English language we can use. Let's stop using the ones that are a bitch, balls. Anything that attacks that. So coward. Call him a coward. You don't have the guts. You don't have the intensity. You know you're not as good as me. See, I just listed three right there, perfectly acceptable. You don't have to keep like, and I think one of them was, and I'll forgive her because she's Thunder Rosa, and I know her English probably isn't that good, but she mentioned that Britt Baker didn't have the balls to face her, or she had something about balls. I was like, well, she doesn't have them to start with. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you know, I just think that in our day and age, there are better ways for us to be able to cut promos, to get people in the building without having to talk about that sort of stuff. Maybe that's just me being an old fuddy-duddy or whatever. But I would rather hear, you don't have the guts, you're a coward, you know you're not as good as me, so you don't want to try, you're ducking me. There's four right there that I think are perfectly acceptable and easier to do, or better to do than... say, challenging someone's manhood or calling them a bitch. Anyway, that's just my opinion. Like I used to say on Views from the East, my opinion, you're entitled to it. This week's guest, of course, is MCW Tag Team Champion, Nick Berry, the big sexy unit. We have a good chat. Great guy. Thinks along, he's a younger generation to myself, but sort of thinks along the same lines as me when it comes to ring psychology, match psychology, all of that sort of stuff. So it was interesting to get the younger point of view when it comes to that sort of thing. And also his time with Lance Storm, a whole lot of thing. And also for the match of the week that him and I sit down and look over, we watch a BCW show where he versed Tajiri. So look forward to that later on in the show. That's it for me for now. So let's get straight to the interview right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Big sexy unit, Nick Berry. How are you, mate?
Oh, well, please allow myself to introduce myself. I am the big sexy unit. I am Nick Berry. I'm one half of the greatest tag team this country has ever seen, being the Brat Pack. I'm very well, Toddy. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. It's been so long. So is this like MCW tag titles? Is it still like a being a numbered reign sort of thing now?
Yes. Yeah. Well, you still got to pop the four slits in when I wrestled. So, sort of just like, it was a little thing I just started doing. I'd pop a slit in, cause I just wanted to do it, thought it was cool. And then when we became two time champs, oh, let's pop two in there. And then it's just like a thing. Okay. If we get three, I'll do it again. If we get four, well, Mitch, can you do it live after we win the belt? So yeah, I'm sitting there and, as you can see, got missing teeth and a scar on my face. So lost a tooth and tooth went through my lip, in that match. So I'm sitting there, Mitch pops two down, got the two belts on, blood all dripping out, and he's shaving a slit in. So it was a cool little sight.
It's very, you know, Mick
Foley, that's what wrestling is. You remember the moments in wrestling, huh?
Yeah. So that, because I was talking about it with Rocky Monero. Like, you legit have the longest reign without ever having to defend the belt in the history of wrestling at the moment.
Yeah, I do love Rocky. I'm actually, I'm almost coming up to a whole year's run being the BCW heavyweight champion with only having one match, and that's when I won it.
Wow.
So, it's a pretty impressive track record. It's
the times we live in.
Yeah.
Being that said, you've got, this will come up after this weekend's festivities, but you've got some stuff on this weekend. So you're really getting back into wrestling now.
Yeah, man. It's so good to be finally back. I think wrestling schools opened up in Melbourne about a month ago. And just having, like, you know, being able to go to an actual gym, it's not just your local park or whatever you've got at home, and just be there, and then also go to wrestling training, because eight or 9 months off, whatever it was, from being in a ring to coming back a month ago, everyone, you know, you'd naturally think, oh, that's great for your body, but in a wrestling sense, it's kind of like taking your first, you know, slams again. And they really sucked, what was it, you know, 6 years ago or 7 years ago when I started, and they just sucked as much. Like, naturally, when you're doing it every week, your body sort of builds up a tolerance and a stiffness to it. So it doesn't feel it as much, but you have 9 months off. And, oh, it sucks. So it's been good to just get, you know, get that rhythm and get the reps back in and put a few Ks into the old pegs again. Mm. But this this weekend, we got BCW having their first show back. Unfortunately, I can't be there for this show. But I'll definitely be there in the first show back into 2021. But in saying that, it's still a stacked card. I'm really excited to see the outcome and how the match actually goes between Adam Brooks and Mick Moretti. I think they're two of the best that this country offers, but also two of the best in the world. So them locking horns is going to be, it's going to be a treat for everyone that gets to watch it.
Yeah, and you yourself, I think are you heading to Sydney?
I am heading to Sydney, yes. Yeah, I'll be in IWA that night.
Awesome. So that's good to see that everyone's really, like, starting to come out and be able to. I think they've worked a way that they can have a decent amount of crowd and still, like, put on shows and still be able to afford to put on shows. Because that's the biggest thing. Everyone was just like, oh, you can have limited crowds, bring it back here, but you need to be able to cover your costs.
Of course, yeah.
And I don't think people understand that. They're just like, just come out and put a show on us here, but we need to pay the rent. We need to pay the guys. We need to pay the production. It's not just a ring and let people walk in with boom boxes. It's a full production nowadays.
You know, and there's a reason, like, you know, if you've got 50 people in the crowd, well, there's a reason why those, you know, worst shows that are around that would only draw 50 people in a non-COVID era don't pay their wrestlers because they physically can't.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of like, here's an opportunity. So it's sort of the same thing. Like, is there a reason to even run a show? Is it going to be worthwhile if you're only going to have 50 to 100 people? Or do you wait until you got full capacity or at least, you know, 70%?
Yeah, and that's... I think that's what PC Dub struggled with for a little bit, and now they're starting to work out that they've worked a way out that they can do it. I know, and it's lucky that, like, in Adelaide, that RCW own their own training school, which has a big enough area that they can set up a crowd. They don't lose money because they're not really, the only rent they're paying for is the rent that they're already paid for. Exactly. And they can have a decent amount of people in there.
Yeah. And like you said, PCW's got the same setup. So it really worked wonders for those two guys, those two companies going back. But Yeah, it's just going to take time. And I think patience is a virtue. And also, who's to say that the fans, I would say there's a big portion of fans that are going to be absolutely frothing at the bit to go to live wrestling again. But there still will be a few fans that I think they're going to be a bit hesitant, you know, like going back into a crowded area. I know for Melbourne, I think we're coming up to like 50 days without one single COVID case. So that might work into our favor. But who's to say that, you know, say Feb comes around and there's one or two cases and everyone goes, oh,
yeah.
You know? So I think for the vast majority of fans, like myself going into sporting environments, I want to be back into a crowd. I want to hear the atmosphere. I want to feel the roar. And what you want the energy. You really don't get that when you're sitting at home watching something live on your computer, for example.
Yeah, well, I know, was it two months ago now, I went to one of the NRL finals at Suncorp.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, they had like nearly 30,000 there. And I'll be honest, I was half shitting myself. Like walking in and going, oh, I just don't know. Like they gave everyone face masks and stuff like that, but like you just didn't know. Like back, two months ago, you just didn't know. And it was for that first couple of weeks when everything shut down, and then ours wasn't even near as bad as what you guys in Melbourne were. But I know myself when I had to just go to Coles to get groceries, everybody was looking at everybody else like, have you got this? Have you got it? Keep away. Do you know what I mean? It's the first time. You just don't feel, you feel like completely isolated, even though you're around people.
And you know, even as like a wrestler, I miss getting reactions of people. So like even though we've had no cases for so long, I still walk around in Coles and I'll go like a little or a sneeze, and I look at people and they all freak out. They're all like, did you just sneeze? Did you just cough? Like, you know, I just have to giggle to myself doing that. So natural heel.
Oh shit. Yeah, well, we had a show not long ago up here, IPW. I went there with Gen Next boys, the tag team I manage, and just we had to play faces. And as we're walking out, I'm like, please don't give guys high fives. I don't care. Just don't do it. Just don't. He's like, they're like, it's so hard. I'm like, I know, you can't do it.
That's a good learning curve for them, you know.
Yeah.
Like as a baby face, we'll try to get over without getting the cheap over, you know?
Yeah.
So like, we'll change your style up a little bit. That's a good training lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're in a bubble, how can you be still pretty liked?
Yeah. Yeah. But let's come on, babies.
Yeah. 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 So, how did you keep yourself in shape while everything, cause in Melbourne, it was a real harsh shutdown where you couldn't go anywhere really. Unless you were what are they called?
The
essential worker.
Essential
there you go.
Worker.
Which really was a broad term for us, but you weren't allowed to go anywhere. So that was gym. How did you work there? Did you have stuff at home that you could keep yourself in good nick, or was it just a?
Yeah, I did go and buy a couple of dumbbells from SportsMart. So I had like, you know, some interchangeable ones, and I had two 30 kilo ones. So just the sort of. That would be my heavier lifting. It was nothing that was like gonna like, you know, be, oh, this is a good setup. But also like, you know, I would pop around to Adam Brooks's house sometimes and train with him, but before he shot off to Adelaide. And he had a really good setup over there. So I was working out with him for a little bit. I'd sort of kept up my cardio a lot, got some resistance bands. But then you know, had a couple of niggles with my injuries as well. I actually bursted a blood vessel in my rib cage, which didn't allow me to actually lift for 6 weeks. So that was really annoying. So all I could do was just go for like, you know, a walk. Well, all we were actually legally allowed to do was an hour walk a day. So, I put a couple of kilos on during that 6 weeks of off season, I guess you could say. But ever since that's wrapped up, that's just all flown straight back off once you sort of start training again. I think for the most part, most people really did keep in shape, and some people even changed their looks a bit, you know, because it's almost like you're coming back from an injury and you kind of got to think to yourself, oh, Like, what can I do differently coming back? You know, do I change my gear? Do I change my hair? Do I change my appearance? Do I shave off a beard? Do I grow a beard? Like, you know, what can I do? Do I get bigger? Do I get leaner? So I think it was a really good growth period for people that have never taken time off wrestling. For me personally, I haven't taken more than a week or two off since I started in 2014. And then to have 8 months off all of a sudden, you kind of rethink everything. And you also, it's the first time in my life, in my wrestling life, I've been able to sit back and really reflect on all the things that I've done, which was really nice too, to just sort of appreciate what I've had and also figure out what I need to work on going forward.
Yeah, when it first happened, I remember talking to the boys about, it's just, imagine that the whole of the wrestling industry got a torn ACL. Because that's basically what it is. We're out for that long.
Yep.
So you either come back stronger or you don't come back good or well. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
It was really all on the people that want it to see what they're going to be like when it comes back.
100%. And even like with BCW running this weekend on the 19th, that'll be interesting to see, like, you know, how the guys pull up with their matches, and even for myself with IWA, how I'm going to pull up, because I know everyone's been training since the school's been back, but that's still only 4 weeks of in-ring training after 8 or 9 months off. There's still going to be some rust out there, and you've had no fan interaction.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be, I kind of think it's like, you know, if you could put it into an AFL or a sports environment, this is definitely preseason game. leading into next year. So knock out a few games before the end of the year and then hit 2021 hard and running.
Yeah, I remember getting to the back at the end of the match and the boys like, what do you reckon? I went, oofed. Oofed. We need to get something under our belts, because that was, you just lose you lose that timing. I'm sure you know exactly what it's like. You just lose. There's that little bit where you can see both guys, and this was in every match, both guys were sort of waiting for the other guy to start there instead of just trusting that everyone knows what they're doing.
Because a little bit of second guessing. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Now, sort of going, we'll go back. You're a Lance Storm boy, aren't you?
Yes. I am. May of 2015. That was my class. That was an amazing experience. Absolutely amazing. I actually had booked that in before I started wrestling training, a year before I got to Lancers. So when I started with Carlo Cannon and Peyton Royce in 2014, they already knew that I was going to Lancers. So they kept me, like, you know, I was there every week, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, just training along. But that was like the best thing for me, to then go to Lancers and not be as green, or not take my first bump there, I should say.
Yeah.
Because I already had a slight advantage. There's 15 guys in my class, and 4 of them had actual in-ring experience to somewhat of a degree. The rest were all taking their first bumps. So that was really handy. And Lance is just a phenomenal trainer. I'm really, really happy that I actually got to go there before he closed the school. Just because from a psychology sense, he makes everything make so much sense. Like, from what we do in the ring and why we do it and why you sell and all the different levels and how to not just have the same match over and over and how to be different, know how you can make your opponent look good. And also, like, you know, how to not be a dickhead. He teaches you a bit of that. And, you know, he would always say, heat's inevitable, but it's not about, like, the heat that you get. It's how to limit your heat. So he'd say all things like that. But the training-wise was fantastic. But he actually had me in the ring quite a bit, just even helping out with the other guys and taking, like, you know, for example, a body slam. Well, Lance doesn't want to be body slammed 15 times. So he would, he would give a few and take a few, and then he'd get, like, a guy like myself or whoever to hop in there, and then, you know, take one, and then he would trust that person's ability. Oh, was it good? Was it okay? Yeah, okay, it's fine. You know, like, I'd only been training a year. I knew how to take a body slam. So I was able to help him a little bit like that.
Yeah, but also being that you trained with Carlo, that's almost like doing an introductory course into Lance Storm, because Carlo is a Lance Storm kid himself.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was like, you know, studying chemistry in year 12 and then doing chemistry at uni. In your first year. So it's the same sort of thing. So that was, yeah, awesome. And what an awesome country Canada is as well. Just like the, because I was there in the summer and I got to go and check out all these amazing lakes and stuff like that on the weekends, and even got to go to some of the shows. I made a few of the hearts at the shows. Interesting fellows to say.
I've heard.
They're classics. And then I was lucky enough to have my first pro wrestling match overseas while I was over there, my last weekend as well. I got a text from Lance saying, would you like to wrestle this weekend? And I'm like, oh my God, like I already had.
I'm a bit busy.
Yeah. So drove about 3 or 4 hours up to Onaway, Canada. And there was 1,000 people that lived in this tiny town. And I would say about half of them were at this show, because it's the only thing to do so far away from anything. So yeah, that was really cool. One of the guys in my class, he actually has done a little bit. Kasinda Singh, he's been on Impact. I keep in contact with like a lot of them. My class is really close, so we still have a group chat that goes off almost every day.
Yeah, I was going to say that. The one good thing about those classes too is like you get people from all around the world, but you end up having friends all around the world to come from that.
Absolutely. And we still would, before COVID, we'd all always try to catch up at least once a year. Mm. It'd normally work out to be mania time. So like if we're going over there to like take some bookings or do some seminars or whatever, they might, like a few of them don't even wrestle anymore. So they'd still just come there as fans and just to catch up. We'd have like, a storm of a catch up day. The camaraderie and the boys just coming together, it's like, it's really special. And also you've got a place to stay. Like I've got a place to stay in like 14 other states around the world.
So
it's fabulous.
You talked a bit about learning psychology and that with Lance Storm. And just this week on Twitter, there was a big firestorm about JR's remarks with AEW, with everyone standing around for dives and sort of that. As a worker, do you take that into account? And do you say, look, everyone's doing this thing, it's happening friggin' 6 times a show, maybe we shouldn't do it?
Yeah, I think I've got a view on this subject. Some people might agree, some people might not agree. Say, there's nothing worse than a guy that's climbing up to the top rope, and let's say he's on the first or the second rope, he's not even up there ready to dive yet. Naturally, everyone knows he's going to dive. And this guy that's on the floor that's getting ready to catch is already standing there with his arms up. Like, could that be any more of a dead giveaway that I'm going to help you land? So you got to work smart. Like, it's like you're going into a super kick. You don't just run around like a headless chook ready for it to come. Move into position, sell, and get yourself ready to take the spot. It's no different than taking a move in the ring. So if there's a guy on the top rope, once he's leapt in the air, then maybe pop your hands up. But once they all start, if this is a big spot and there's like 4 or 5 guys on the floor, and then one guy's going to do a big dive from the top, well, don't all just start huddling up like a rugby scuffle, a little scrum, and then get ready for it, Still work with it. If you need to be able to have like eyes in the back of your head sort of thing. You can still be punching a guy while he's climbing up to the rope, and then the last minute turn around because you're hearing the noise from the crowd. That's what made you turn around, and then boom, there's the big pancake. So yeah. I think it can be done a bit better, but that's just some people, they might not have thought about that, or they might not have ever been told that. So they're thinking, oh, safety first sort of thing. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's a bit of flavors of ice cream with wrestling.
Yeah, I think I put it this way to somebody the other day. It's like, if it takes you 15 to 20 seconds to set up a bit, maybe don't do that spot.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, it might be that you can do something really cool, but is it worth it to take people out of the match to see that cool spot?
Yeah. And like you said, when there's every match almost has a dive now. So if you're on a card and you're moving with the times, naturally we have to move the times. If dives have just become a spot to do like a chop is, well then at least have the courtesy to walk around to the other guys that having matches and saying, hey, are you guys doing a dive? Well, what dive are you doing? So then as a fan, you're sitting there, oh my God, I've seen four of the exact same dives. Is that the only dive they've been taught? And, you know, at least do that, or at least watch the match before you, so you have somewhat of an idea.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, it was the last NXT TakeOver, and my favorite match on that card was Ciampa and Thatcher, because it was so different to every other match on that card.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just, it's to me that it looked like a real fight could be confused for a real fight. Whereas a lot of times you see guys waiting around for stuff or you can almost call what someone's going to do before they do it now. Mm. That I don't mind when there's a bit of awkwardness. If you're scuffling and there's a bit of like misstep, and I don't mind, because that's what happens in real fights.
Yeah, 100%.
No one has the perfect footing, and no one has in a real fight, because you're trying to fight.
Yeah, yeah. And we can't make it too much of a choreographed look or a gymnastics approach, like you're saying. Have a little bit of argy bargy and you know, make it look a little bit real and a bit dirty and natural. Because if everything flows so perfectly well, then it is just like a choreographed dance.
Mm.
And so that's what I think can be changed a little bit. But at the same time, we do need to move with the times. Like, I'm sure people were telling the Hardys in 1999 that they're doing way too much. And look how fucking over they were. And at the end of the day, the wrestling business is all about making money and putting butts in seats. And so if it's working and people are buying it, well, maybe it's working, you know, but you don't have to. I think you need to read the same book and write your own chapter. You don't need to write your own, you don't need to reinvent the whole book.
Yes, yes. Well, for an example, and I think this maybe illustrates best my feeling on it, is the Young Bucks versus FTR.
Yeah.
They had all of that moves, but they had the psychology.
Yeah.
And that's what I find missing so much today in wrestling that I see, like, be it AEW, NXT, whatever, is the psychology. ROH have great psychology in their matches. I love ROH and MLW for that fact, is that their psychology in that is always seems to be spot on when it comes to match psychology. But with AEW and that, that's the one thing that's lacking for me. And to have that thing with FTR being that the guy lost the match because for the very first time he decided he was going to try and do a flip.
Yeah,
way the Young Bucks do, and they paid for it.
Yeah,
I don't know what people don't understand about that as being so great storytelling.
Isn't it? You know, that they've been pushed so far. Shit, we need to do something to finally just end this match. And he does what he would never have done, and it backfired.
Yeah,
and now that as a heel, that just gives him all the right reasons to never do it again and keep on, you know, stomping on the guys that do them.
Yes. Yeah, and they're like, for me, if I'm watching a Dynamite and it's an FTR match, I know I'm going to like it, because it doesn't matter who they're working with, they'll bring those guys along and go, look, this is what we're doing. This is how it's going to work. It's
never the same match either. No. Like you can't have the same match or the same style every week. Otherwise you're stale. Like you need to spice it up. Like you can have, especially as a tag team. Oh God. Like, you can have so much fun with that. You don't need to reinvent the wheel, but you can have multiple different types of matches all the time and never be labeled as, oh, well, this is just what they do. This is their niche. This is just the Goldberg spear jackhammer, you know?
So
you can get a lot more out of it.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you about that, because you've primarily been tag team guy sort of the last year or so, branching yourself out more with singles. Are you enjoying that difference, or is it sort of like you really prefer to be in the tag team, or you're starting to prefer to be a single?
Yeah, I do prefer being in a tag team. I think that Mitch and I have such good chemistry and we work so well together and we just know each other so well that we could really run with this for a very, very long time. And it's almost at a point now where we've been wrestling together for 4 years. It's like, well, it's almost gone too far to ever do that split up, but it's also going so far. Like, why don't we just keep on running? Mm. But at the same time, like, I am enjoying doing some single stuff at the moment. And I think you can do both. Almost like you can think about it as like, look at like Undisputed Era. Those guys are a group, which sometimes they wrestle as a singles, sometimes they tag, but they're always together. Like, it doesn't mean that Mitch and I have to be, if just because we're on the same card on the same show, doesn't mean that we have to be tag team. We can show that what we can do as a singles, and we can show what we do as a tag team. But yeah, for the definitely tag team is number one for me, and I just love tag team wrestling. I always have loved tag team wrestling. I think that there's so much more things that you can do and have more variety, and I don't know. It's just always really been my passion since I started really having wrestling matches. And I love, like, you know, I love the waking up to the hot tag is obviously the most important part of the tag match. But the ways you can do that, and the ways when you get that, the pop that it can get, or like the ooh almostness, I love that. You know, that's like a big kick out false finish at the end as well. But we get two of them, so we get the best of both of us.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite things to see when especially when I'm managing the guys in the Gen Next guys, is sometimes they'll have all this stuff planned out for the heat, and you can tell when a crowd's ready. And I'll just go, cut it, tell him to go to the hot tag now.
Yep.
And they listen to, and when they listen, because the first time they didn't really listen because the baby face overruled them. He was like, no, you still got more to do. And it sort of killed the heat.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Because you can go, you know yourself, you can go too far. We're like, ah, shit.
Absolutely. I have to try and,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and we've all done
but
it.
When you hit that, yeah, exactly. But when you hit that right moment, it's one of the best feelings as a performer when you've hit that hot tag at the right spot. And especially when you've got two heels that will come in and bump and feed quick enough to make that hot tag, that fire worth it. It's one of the best things that you can see in wrestling.
And communication is key in a wrestling match, and even has to be even more key in a tag match, because you've got five guys now in the ring, and the referee is a very handy tool. So, you know, and even like if you're managing, if you've got a manager, that's even better. Like, you just got another tool there that you can use. And if you're giving them, you're basically the coach there. You're saying, go now. And if, you know, if they're in that moment, they might not think that until they hear that and they go, yes, you're right. I will start. I'm listening to the crowd now. They are ready. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's all it is. You know, people plan out so much and they go, oh, no, but we've got to get to this. We've got to get to this. But they're actually then forgetting who they're performing in front of. And you got to go when the crowd is ready to go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Too many times you see guys go, well, this is the match I wanted to do. See, but that's not necessarily the match that the crowd wanted to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you just say, well, what was the result? Did the crowd enjoy it? Are they going to come back and watch you again? Did they buy your merch? Okay. Well, it fucking worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of my happiest things to see at the moment is when I see the guys, like, again, I'll say Gen X, cause it's the tag team that I manage primarily. When I see those guys learning, and I'll go to say something and I already hear them doing it, I'm like, I'm so proud. Sort of that deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you guys have done stuff. Well, a thing that not a lot of Australian tag teams have done is go over internationally and wrestle like for ROH with the English shows that they were doing there. Tell us about that experience and how that all came about.
Oh man, that was a hell of an experience. That was just a little over a year ago now. So we got, you know, obviously a message from Ring of Honor, and they were interested in us and wanted to have a look at us. And they said, you know, can you come along to the UK? It's like, yes. and we want to use you for three shows. So that was really cool. So we fly over there and, meet everyone. That's probably the best locker room I've ever been a part of. Like, everyone was, it really felt like a team environment in that tour. Like, everyone was like, they would all watch your matches, they'd all come back, they'd all care for you, like, you know, having a beer with them after the show, they'd all want to talk about like what they were doing, how to improve on it. So it was really like, this is Ring of Honor first, and let's all bring it up together. And really just go kill it. And the matches that we had three matches over there, one in London, one in Wales, and one in Bolton, which is just near Manchester. And it was very much because we had to stay in London the whole time. So whenever we'd get the bus to wherever, we'd always come back. So there's a lot of hours on the road in just 3 days. But we gave them, like I was saying before, with tag team wrestling, you don't just want to be labeled as the one style of match. So we gave them on purpose three exact opposite matches, and different styles and different psychologies to it. And I think they were really happy with that. And to be able to show them that, you know, we can do this, we can do this, we can do that. So you can sort of cater. So you kind of got like an ice cream sundae instead of just like a chocolate scoop. You've got all the flavors in there. But yeah, I was very humbled to be able to wrestle over there and get an opportunity with Ring of Honor. And then, you know, we kind of came back and we're still in contact, but, you know, they end up picking up Brooks and Kellyanne and Slex. So it's really cool to see a lot of Aussies now getting a chance to all work with Ring of Honor. And I really look forward to the day when all five Aussies are on one Ring of Honor show. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, you got to work the Briscoes.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, so that was, it's a big bucket list for us because obviously we watch a lot of tag team wrestling and they're one of the best. And the fact that we got to work it was amazing. And they were really, 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 really supportive and encouraging to us and really put us out of our comfort zone. And I think they really got the best out of us that night. Also getting to work with Kenny King was a cool thing for me. I was such a big TNA fan back in the day. So yeah, getting to work with him was cool. But yeah, as a whole, Ring of Honor, the whole locker room were just great, great guys. You know, all the guys, all the girls, very supportive, very encouraging. And I think it was a pretty successful tour.
I remember watching one of the cards. I can't remember which one it was now, but I remember because I watched it specifically because I remembered you guys were on it. So I went and I made sure I bought it and so I could watch the show. And I was just it was like, it's so good to see Aussies out there.
Yeah. Well, we got to tick off. I've always really wanted to wrestle in York Hall. So we got to wrestle Lifeblood there on the first night. And yeah, that was a cool little feeling, you know, knowing like the history of York Hall and all that sort of stuff. I was actually pleasantly happy and a bit surprised that there was quite a lot of Ring of Honor UK fans that knew who the Rat Pack were when we walked out. So they kind of, we gave them like a sense of, always I say to wrestlers is, when you walk out, assume that nobody knows you. So within the first 10 seconds, people should know if you're a heel or a babyface, or at least what your character is. And the fact that there was already a few in the crowd that already knew that did help along the way as far as like getting the crowd up and going. But yeah, it was one hell of a trip, and I really can't wait for the next one.
And
let's just get COVID over, hey?
Yeah, wow. Well, MC Dubs, their on-demand service would have played a big part in people all around the world knowing who you are. And now, because MCW has changed management and owners and that sort of thing, is it going to be you probably know a little bit about it, is it going to be a big difference in MCW next year? Is it sort of like a renew, or is it sort of they're just going to keep going the way they were going?
I think small things will change. It's a hard one because we haven't seen a show yet, so we don't really know how big of a difference it's going to be. But I think with the guys that are now in charge, two very, very professional people, not to say that the owners before that weren't, but they see the business in a bit of a different light. So I'm really keen to see that changing of guard and see the transition and what that will look like when shows actually happen. But I've been very pleased just going to the academy and seeing the difference in the training styles of what's going on there. They've got a brand new facility there, great facility. They've got two rings. So I think they might be the only school in the country to have two rings available for their training. No, sorry. PCW have two rings as well. But it's very, very handy to have two rings side by side.
I think UPW up here do as well now.
Oh, okay. Apologies. Yeah. So as far as like, you know, training purposes, it's you get a lot more in ring time. So instead of, you know, a 2 hour class where you might have only, so let's say 35 minutes of actual in ring time while the rest you might be watching for someone else to do it and stuff, you're now doubling that essentially.
Yeah.
So you're getting a lot more out of it. And then I think it'll be just a matter of we've got to wait and see how the shows actually start running. But I've got full faith in this new team. I think they're going to do a fantastic job.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would never knock the old management because Mikey Jade, the stuff he did for not just Melbourne wrestling, but Australian wrestling is unbelievable. Even now with the on-demand channel that he's still running is just opening the world up to what the Australian wrestling can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Mikey did a fantastic job. And he did it for a long time as well. So he probably really deserved a bit of a break and just to get away from it for a little bit. Yeah, Australian Wrestling Network, I think, is his new job at the moment. And yeah, that's up and running. That's really good. Like it's got so much content from all over the country that he can really package up and offer it to the world to see Australian wrestling.
Mm. Well, unless you've got any more stuff to go, that's probably it because we haven't really got we can't talk about what's been happening the last couple of months because it's not been much happening.
we're really winding back, like we're going back into last years and everything because nothing happened this year.
No, it's so weird, isn't it? It's so weird to just say, like, so what did you do this? Well, I had a show in February.
And what else happened? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I watched a few Netflix shows.
Yeah, I've legitimately worked, was it 3 shows this year, which is probably the lowest I've had in 10 years.
Yeah, it's insane. It absolutely is insane to think that, hey, at least you got that many. I think I had probably 3 as well, actually. Yeah. Feb and Jan, I think it was. I don't even know, but yeah, what a shit year 2020 was.
Yeah, I think that's probably a popular opinion.
Yeah. So I'm really keen to get things rolling again. But yeah, I appreciate you having me on here. I've been listening for about 6 years, so it's a good thing to finally get that ticked off.
Yeah. Well, it's not exactly a huge throw. It's not a huge accomplishment being on this show.
Anyway, your own personal little bucket list.
Oh, okay. Fair enough then. Get your socials out there for people that want to.
You can follow me on Instagram at the_unit_NickBerry, or that's where you'll be able to catch me the most. I'm most active on Instagram. You'll see a lot of like things that I say are unit things, which is just my own personality, which I just pop out there and just, it's very quirky and spontaneous and surprising, and you'll always be thrown a little bit off guard. But you can just kind of go, oh, yeah, unit would do that. So I like to let the fans in a little bit. Or you can follow me on Twitter at RealNickBerry. I do use Twitter a little bit, but I'm not as active as Instagram on there, or just Facebook at NickBerry Pro Wrestler.
And your match of the week, when we do a watch along with most of the guys I talk to, which match have you picked for us to watch along and talk about sometime, mate?
Yeah, I've actually gone myself, obviously, in a singles at BCW versus Tajiri. Reason why I've gone that, it's you know, it's not a 25-minute, you know, balls-to-the-wall sort of match, but it was a match that I got to learn a lot from. And it was against an opponent that I really grew up idolizing, especially from his style, because I had a martial arts background before wrestling. So when I started watching wrestling and I saw Tajiri, I was like, oh, that's kind of like what I want to be. You know, a smaller guy, he throws his vicious kicks. Like, I'm already doing that and beating up little kids in primary school doing my martial arts. So I'm like, oh, well, I can kind of do that. But yeah, when I got to meet him, he was it was pretty funny because he's sort of like, you know, kayfabes his English to you, and until he sort of gets to know you a little bit, and then this entire match is called on the fly, which is a thing that I think more wrestlers could do, and gain some more experience out of that. So I was pretty happy with the outcome. And it really was just like what we were talking about before, just keeping your ear to the crowd and listening. And I'm just following his lead here, and he was awesome to work with.
Yeah, awesome. So for the people that are listening to the podcast, show's going to end here and go to me wrapping it up. For you guys on YouTube, here's the match. Once again, big thanks to my guest, the MCW Tag Team Champion, Nick Barry, Big Sexy Unit. If he's in your area, go and check him out. He is well worth the price of admission when he does the wrestles. As for us, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe on WRA. It's free. You can do it on iTunes. Why do I keep saying iTunes? It's no longer a thing, Todd. You can do it on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts from, we're there. If you did listen to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher, go and check out the YouTube version of this show, because you will see the match. And we just break down a match and then talk about it. And this one with Nick and Tajiri was a good little match. It wasn't a five-star classic by any means, but we do a couple of funny stories for the match and all that sort of stuff. It was a good chat to have. My past ones I've done as well with Davis Storm, Adam Brooks, Rocky Monero. I think that's it so far. I might be missing somebody. If I do, I do apologize. All of those are good little extra chats, and you'll get an extra 15, 20 minutes of us talking, and you get to watch a good match while you're at it. So, I mean, what's the problem with that? If you do stop by iTunes, though, give us a 5-star. It helps us get inside more ears. It's a rating and review. You know the deal. I mean, anyone who's watching or listening to podcasts nowadays knows all about this stuff. But spread the word. Make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search at Wrestle Radio Australia, and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. If you want to support the local industry, subscribe to one of the streaming services. Plenty of them out there. Australian Wrestling Network has a shite load of Australian wrestling on it now. Mikey J doing a great job with that. Also, you've got OVO for PWA. RCW have their own YouTube channel where all their shows get uploaded to that. So go and check them out. PCW Online, I think, go and check them out as well. Just go and support the guys, especially now where we can't actually get crowds in. The most we can do, or the best we can do, if we want to support this thing and want to support this thing and want to support this art form going forward, subscribe to those services so you can catch up on older things, but also the newer stuff that's coming out. So please do that. Also, if you want to support the wrestlers themselves, go over to wrestlermerch.com and cop some of the stuff, or message your favorite wrestler and just ask them how you can get some of their merch. Support the industry if you can in this time. If you want to get Wrestle Radio Australia t-shirts, redbubble.com. All of the shirts are up on there. If you do buy any of those, any of the profits go for that, go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, which are two charities that I really do support, supporting men's health, mental health and stuff like that. It's a very big thing for us here at Wrestle Radio Australia. We lost, my podfather, the guy that helped me create Wrestle Raid Australia just last year, Josh Armour, to this dreadful, you talk about a pandemic with COVID-19. Mental health, men's suicide is a epidemic because it kills a lot of Australian men every year. And we really do want to try and stamp that out. And Beyond Blue, Gotcha for Life do a lot to try and stop that. So that's all we can really ask for. But until next week, that'll do us for Wrestle Road Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. And remember, I don't have a finishing line. We'll see you next week. Too sweet, put your fangs up. Too sweet, pour another cup. Let's be prison 23.